tonight, and welcome to another episode of Two Guys, One Level, a place where two guys talk about all things gaming. I'm your host, Tortuga, accompanied by Pixel.
And welcome back to another episode, everyone. Definitely glad to be back. Just going to try to pick up where we left off, which is more gaming news. As we approach here the end of the year, officially in December 2023, got a couple of surprises and things going on. I think the biggest, most recent news that has the internet abuzz is going to have to be Rockstar. Rockstar announced that tomorrow, December 5th, this is a Tuesday, at 9 a.m. Eastern time, they will be releasing the first official trailer for Grand Theft Auto 6. Whether it's a teaser trailer, gameplay trailer, we don't know. Hopefully it's not a teaser trailer. The only thing that has me a little concerned is going to have to be at the end, coming 2028.
That's interesting. I wonder what they're going to show. If it's going to be some gameplay, just a little intro of who the protagonist is going to be. I don't know. It's exciting times. It's a good series.
I think with the flyer, it looks like there's palm trees in the back. So it looks like the gameplay leak that happened a couple months ago, looks like that was the actual alpha build or something. It was definitely official content because they got the location right. Even though there
was definitely official because they immediately jumped on that, went full lawyer up, and their statement as soon as that video came out was, this is not how we wanted you guys to find out.
Right.
So they basically confirmed that it was the alpha pre-footage, whatever they had in that state of the game for GTA 6. So it's been in the works for a hot minute because what they showed, even though it was just a small clip and didn't really go anywhere, the pretty sure the NPC or whatever, the player just stayed in one area and just caught information from, you know, what was going on around it. And it was it looked complete. It looked like that game could have been played that day when that leaked. So there was enough
right
in the engine already. So yeah, they can't backtrack now. They already confirmed that footage was indeed Grand Theft Auto 6.
Yeah, and they were like in some store or something. I don't know. It looked complete enough where it definitely rebuilt that hype for Grand Theft Auto. I mean, on average, Rockstar really does not disappoint when it comes to their Grand Theft Auto series. Even their like side projects, Liberty City Stories and Vice City Stories, those were really well put together as well. I honestly think the only ones that I did not touch were Grand Theft Auto 1969 or Grand Theft Auto London, something like that, and their Grand Theft Auto Chinatown Wars. I think other than that, I've touched pretty much everything else, and they've all been a good time, you know, from dialogue to gameplay. A lot of them definitely a product of their time, but they still hold up as far as the narrative goes.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Grand Theft Auto is an interesting kind of series to see from beginning to end because it started with a top-down, pixelated shooter type thing with no real rhyme or story or thing. You just walked around and destroyed things, really just stole cars and blow things up. And there was somewhat of a story, kind of, but not really. And then it evolved to what it is today, just a full-blown RPG, which blows my mind.
Yeah, no, it is pretty insane. But, you know, again, overall, much excitement for the next installment in the series. Another thing that kind of ties into this is it's interesting that they're doing their own announcement and not doing it at the Game Awards, which is also this week on December 7th. For those who don't remember, the Game Awards is hosted by Jeff Keighley, who is a very notable name in the video game industry. Who essentially kind of built his own E3 from the ground up, you know, really taking advantage of the lackluster E3 and then the COVID pandemic as well. He's doing very well for himself on the Game Awards, because not only do we get, you know, the awards and announcements, but there's really big premieres that also have taken place here. I think the most notable thing most recently is going to have to be when Christopher Judge had that super long speech for winning for Kratos, for the voice actor of Kratos. But, you know, there's definitely anticipation for the Game Awards itself. I really want to see what they have planned, but definitely curious at the lineup for the Game of the Year. Because there are some that I feel do not belong on there.
Just
Baldur's Gate should be the winner. It should absolutely be the winner.
If anything else wins that's not Baldur's Gate, I'm never watching one of those shows ever again. Period.
Because I think what's so bothersome to me personally is, you know, Zelda's a sequel. It's more of the same. I think they threw Alan Wake in there as well, which I also don't agree with. And they threw in Super Mario Wonder, which is in no way, shape, or form can compete with Baldur's Gate. Like, Baldur's Gate is the most complete game out of the list. And I'm definitely missing, I think, like one or two more. But ultimately, I absolutely believe that Baldur's Gate should be the winner.
It 100% should be. And if it is not, the whole thing is rigged and there's no point of ever supporting or watching that stuff ever.
It is pretty rigged. I don't know if you knew that.
It's supposed to be the player vote or gamer vote or whatever, but I don't know. I voted. I put in my vote. We'll see what happens. There's just no way that anything beats out Baldur's Gate 3. It's just, there's nothing came close this year. Not one game came close. The only game that came close ever is Elden Ring, but that's not a contender for this year. So it's like Baldur's Gate has to be it's the only clear winner. Like, if it was a year where Elden Ring and Baldur's Gate 3 came out at the same, I would be like, all right, both beautiful games, complete, amazing story, amazing combat, amazing everything all the way through. It'd be more of a challenge. The only other complete game that came out this year is Hogwarts Legacy. That was it.
Right. And it did not make the list, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. I mean, that one definitely should win some awards because they did a fantastic job. But of course, rookie mistake, making a game come out in the beginning of the year, it is long forgotten by June.
Right. Especially a single player game.
Yeah. But I still think about it. It played great. I had no issues with it outside from starting it up on launch day, which isn't an uncommon thing. Just had to wait a little bit. Played great. Music was great. Story was great. It felt great. It felt magical. But yeah, still BG3 just blew everything out of the water to the point where developers were like, yeah, don't let that game raise the bar of what we're going to produce, because we're never going to meet that ever.
Yeah, not even we're not even going to attempt it. Like, just give us your money and call it a day.
That's really what came out of it. Like, yeah, we're not going to try to approach games in that fashion where we put the consumer first, like, ever. So don't expect that out of us. That's literally what they came with. So BG3 should be recognized. Larian Studios should 100% be recognized for their hard work, for their years of work, and actually putting a complete game and putting the gamers first. They should 100% be rewarded and acknowledged.
No, they absolutely should. I mean, you know, big ups to everyone involved. But, you know, we just got a massive, massive patch. I don't know if you got that notification, but they said it's so big that you're better off just uninstalling your game and just reinstalling it.
Yeah, I saw that, the Call of Duty of RPGs. But it's coming. I saw a few things in there that, you know, piqued my interest. I don't think I would ever use these features, but I don't know. But let's talk about it. They're bringing in Honor Mode, which is an interesting challenge to play Baldur's Gate 3. The game's already challenging as it is, if you're not using cheats. And they're making a mode where basically you only have one playthrough, like, without, you don't have the ability to revert back to an older save. Like, you just run through the game as is, and the fights are harder. So you not only can't you go back if you fail combat, you have to succeed each encounter and push the game forward, which I think is insane.
That's for good players like you.
Right. That's not me one bit. I save every time I get a crit in combat and revert back to that moment if I
try
die, which is very, very frequent. But it's an interesting game mode. I never even thought of playing Baldur's Gate that way, where it's like I never considered going to a previous save as cheating, but I guess some people do. And you know, if you're ever able to beat this game in that mode, you get a very shiny golden D20 as your reward. So the next time you play the game after beating the game in that mode, the D20 that you roll in the game will be a shade of gold, which is pretty cool. But it's just one of those things that the game's already hard. Like, who's actually, because not only that, it's increasing the difficulty level of the game. It's not just that that's enabled. The game is also past the hardest level. This is a new level of difficult.
I know. I still know you're excited for it. I know you're already thinking about what's going to be the best class to play.
I'm not for that mode. And what's also extra interesting with this mode is that they're giving a lot of mini bosses and bosses, legendary actions, which is an action economy in Dungeons and Dragons, which was not introduced in Baldur's Gate 3 until this patch, which I did notice when playing that certain creatures and certain bosses didn't have legendary actions, but now they will in this mode. And just to recap what a legendary action is, it's an action that the boss can take on another creature's turn. After another creature's turn's end, a boss can just interject and throw in a legendary action here real quick, and then it'll go to the actual next person in initiative. So they're involved in multiple stages of that round instead of just when that boss's turn is. So it makes the fight 10 times harder because you're like, all right, the boss did his thing. I managed to survive. I'm going to do this. And then the boss is like, oh, by the way, legendary action here at the end of your turn. And it just throws everything out of whack. It just makes things a million times harder. It's great in D&D because action economy is a real thing where the player almost always wins because they can do 5 to 10 things in one round and the boss can to do one. So the legendary action is supposed to like kind of help counterbalance that, the fact that the boss gets one turn and you could just interject a couple actions here and there. So it's an interesting thing. They're introducing it in Baldur's Gate 3, which is going to make honor mode even more difficult to get through. There's no way I can see myself completing this mode.
I'm still stuck on Act 3 and I haven't played in forever. So
yeah, I'm barely getting through normal. I'm right at the gate of the final boss. And let me tell you, it is kicking my ass. I can't even imagine how the final sequence goes in honor mode. No way, no how.
That fun, huh? Interesting.
Bro, my current encounter is at 44 things. There's 44 creatures in my encounter.
Bro.
So, yeah.
Bro. That's crazy. That's pretty intense.
Literally, I take my turn and watch a movie right after because it's like 20 minutes before I get to go again. I'm telling you, it's nuts.
Speaking of final bosses throwing in legendary encounters, let's talk about Ubisoft accidentally releasing the announcement for Beyond Good and Evil. We have on the official Beyond Good and Evil 2 Twitters where I saw it, and they announced it on that one. And the only news that they gave was there's going to be some sort of remaster for the original Beyond Good and Evil, like a 20th anniversary kind of thing.
Yeah, that was such a letdown. When you showed me that link, I thought it was actual Beyond Good and Evil 2 news. And like you said, it was not. It was just a remaster of the original game, which to me is fine because as someone who has this much excitement and hype for a game that apparently may never release, I've never played the original story.
So I honestly don't think you'll even be missing much. Like, just the way that they're talking about it, of how the sequel's gonna play, you really are looking at like a completely different game. It's also a prequel.
So anything that happened,
Beyond Good Evil 2 is a sequel.
It's a prequel. I hear you saying that word. It's a prequel.
It's a sequel.
It's a prequel.
It is not a prequel. It's a sequel, because the pig, who was in one, he's much older, and he meets the girl in the first one and recognizes her in the second because she looks like she's some sort of villain or something.
Let's see. Beyond Good and Evil 2 is the spiritual successor to the original cult classic, a prequel that will transport players into a profoundly multicultural world, capturing the spirit of the original with grandiose decor and intense dramas that play out across the vast universe. It's a prequel, bro.
That's insane. But okay. You got it.
It's a prequel. It's so, always has
it's
been.
So dumb.
It's a prequel.
So fucking dumb. This is why nobody likes the French.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I don't know anything about the original story, but apparently one of the characters in the main one was seen, I think Jade. I don't know. I might be winging that.
Right. She's a girl.
Yeah. Apparently, and then she's evil in part two. But apparently that's part of her lore in the first game, where she used to be evil and is now one of the good characters in the first game. But the prequel has her in this era, epoch, where she's evil Jade or whatever. I don't know. But yeah. But anyways, never played the first one. But I'm very excited. Well, I don't know, because games like Baldur's Gate 3 and everything else is catching up to what I'm expecting what games should have been for a while now. So that kind of like hype behind Beyond Good and Evil 2 is going to rapidly die. I did not realize that that game trailer is about 15 years old now, the initial announcement, which is insane.
The gameplay trailer is coming in at almost 6 years old.
Insane. It's nuts. That's pretty sure enough time to make four sequels past that by now. I don't know what they're waiting for. I really wish I knew what the holdup was. It doesn't make sense.
Yep. I wish I had more for you. But that's kind of where we are. I think a big thing was they were hit with a bunch of lawsuits. And I think one of the creative directors or someone pretty high up ended up passing away as well.
It was definitely the lead writer, right? Or something like that.
I think his name was Emil. But they've been hit with a little bit of development hell here.
But I can't imagine why that would prolong years. I can understand maybe a year, but no one else can write the story now that this person, you know, passed. No one can pick up where he left off. Did he not share his notes or ideas with the team? It's just things just, you know, they don't add up when it comes to this project.
Yeah, I mean, remember, this is the same people where upper management was like, the success of the companies depends on the devs and not them making the decisions. And so who knows what they're going on there. Remember, we also touched on this where they screwed over a lot of their employees by starting a return to office thing. Where they said they would never do that, and you know, people bought, you know, homes and apartments in like other countries,
other states,
yeah,
countries too. But I mean, Canada. But it's still a pain for those people. We did talk about it, because now they're expected to come back to the office where their home has 6x in price because California is ridiculous. And they couldn't even afford to find an apartment at what they were paying for at mortgage. And it just sidelined so many people. So yeah, that was BS. And it just doesn't make sense in this day and age where we can work from home and accomplish the exact same amount of work.
Right. Right. It's just, that's another thing that doesn't make sense to me. You know, being slaves to these landlords is something that's going to be the downfall of a lot of companies. But anyway, before we get into that, we also have the Batman trilogy, the Arkham trilogy, came out on the Switch, and it runs just as bad as you would think so. a lot of complaints on that one.
Bro, they're just getting ready for the Switch 2. They don't care right now that all these amazing games are trash on the current Switch. Switch 2 is going to handle these with ease.
This is true. Then we also have CD Projekt Red has also confirmed that they have about, I think it was like half of their developers, it was something like 300 something developers right now working on Witcher 4. They're actually giving Cyberpunk, you know, I had to throw Cyberpunk in here for you. They're giving Cyberpunk one final update. So it's supposed to be Cyberpunk 2.0. and they're doing a 2.1 where they're adding like romance animations, vehicle changes. You're able to like use a subway now. It's like crazy. It's insane seeing all the updates that they've done and how the game runs now. Like if the game would have launched in this state, I cannot tell you how much money they would have raked in.
Yeah,
it is unbelievable.
I mean, we've discussed this so many times. They dropped the ball. And what I find comical about this metro system, it was already in the game. Right. Someone discovered it, the metro system, but it wasn't active, wasn't running because they didn't code it to work. But someone found all the parts. They found that active tracks in that the system in the game, in the world. So it's just funny that it was like, oh, here's a new inclusion for something that we started and did not complete, but it's complete now, so we get to add it to the game. It's just, I just find it so ridiculous.
Yeah. But yeah, I just wanted to touch on that real quick. I don't know if you've been checking out any like deals for like Black Friday or holiday deals or anything like that, but
oh yeah.
I know you've mentioned you were recently gifted your Xbox Series X, and those are on sale right now for $349. And you can even find bundles with a game at the same $349 price. I think I happened to catch a Diablo 4 bundle at that price. And it just raises questions for me because Microsoft usually doesn't do that until there's another console on the market already. So I'm very curious why they have that out already.
It might be trying to get their numbers up. End of Q4, probably didn't do too hot throughout the year on Xbox sales. Easiest way to get those inflated numbers before the year ends for your investors. You know, a really good sale like that, because that's almost half off. It's really right. Good.
Yeah, no, it's really, really good. There, and while we're here, I can't believe I almost forgot to bring this up. The only place where I was able to see it, it was Kotaku, after seeing it online. But PlayStation is going to delete a lot of TV shows from users. And this falls into a licensing thing. So Sony said that, you know, it looks like it's mainly Discovery TV, but we'll use Mythbusters as an example since that's on there. So Mythbusters and other Discovery TV shows are going away whether you bought them or not. So because of a licensing thing, even if you have purchased this on your Sony account, I don't know if it's specific to PlayStation, it might be, it's being removed entirely from your account.
Yeah, that sucks. That's always been the risk with digital content.
I've always understood it with streaming, but for purchases, it's now the next, I guess, like the next hurdle that we have to deal with. You know, we've discussed it with Warner Brothers, specifically the Batgirl movie, where they completely filmed it. They finished editing. It was literally about ready for release, and they just pulled it entirely, just wrote that whole thing off. Disney looks like they're also working on it. They did it with Willow, apparently. It was a 1980s fantasy adventure movie. They came out with a show that's an official sequel for it. And it didn't do poorly. It just didn't do as well as they wanted. And they just pulled the entire show from their streaming services. And there was no way to purchase it originally anyway. So it's just another thing that we have to worry about as consumers.
Yeah, sucks. Hate it, because there's so many benefits to digital content versus physical. But there's so many drawbacks with digital. I feel like we're going to teeter back into wanting physical media now for our games, just because we get to have it. And when there's a sale, you know, if you wait to buy a physical game, it's usually cheaper after a couple months. Whereas in digital, it's the same price forever, which has never made sense to me. It should be already cheaper to begin with, because it's a lot cheaper to distribute. But, you know, company's going to corporate. And yeah, it's hot garbage. Man, this is a hot garbage podcast today.
It is hot garbage. Apparently the email read, due to our content licensing arrangements with content providers, you will no longer be able to watch any of your previously purchased Discovery content, and the content will be removed from your video library.
Insane. That sucks. Sony's trash anyways, but...
And if I'm not mistaken, Discovery is part of Warner Brothers or the HBO Max thing. It was something like that. Like, they have been seeing a lot of negative consumer actions. Like, they've been taking stuff down left and right. And it's very unfortunate to see. But I'm sure it's somewhere in the fine print when you sign up that if something's gone, then it's gone forever.
For sure. Oh, they're 100% covered. There's not going to be any remediation for this. We agree to the terms and conditions because why wouldn't you read that 3,000-page document before agreeing? Who in their right mind would skip that many pages? It's all hot garbage.
No, it really is.
The biggest lie ever told is, yes, I agree that I have read the terms and conditions.
Not wrong at all. That's funny. Man, it's been a crazy year, like just overall, from gaming news and things like that. Another thing that I wanted to touch on is season 2 of Halo is coming out, I think, like in February, and I think they're actually gonna appear at an actual Halo. I guess the first one didn't watch it. I didn't know Cortana reprised her role for the show, which is probably the only real reason that I want to go and watch season 1 now. They made it free, I think, on YouTube or something. So if you haven't watched it, you do not have to sign up for Paramount Plus for season 1. You can find it online now. And the reason I brought that up is to bring up Fallout. We have touched very briefly where Amazon picked up the rights for a Fallout TV show. And we have the first trailer that just came out. Looks kind of dark. Looks like it's going to be more, not as fun and lighthearted, I guess, as a dystopian future can be. But we saw like the Brotherhood of Steel, and their armor looks really, really good. It looks like they're actually putting forth an effort into the show.
Was it live action or animated?
The Fallout one, live action.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that was coming down the pipeline. That's exciting stuff.
Yeah, the trailer just came out.
That's an interesting adaptation. I feel like it's not a difficult one. I'm very curious how they're going to handle all like the ghouls and all the really grotesque monsters.
There's actually a very, very good actor. I know you'll know him if you watch him, but his name is Walter Goggins. He usually plays some sort of witty mouth villain of some sort with a real deep Alabama kind of accent. And he plays a ghoul. And if you can look up like Walter Goggins ghoul real quick, you'll see like how much effort they put into the makeup as well.
That is awesome. I'm here for it. That's good stuff. It's a good series. It's a good story. It's a good series. I love how they're all interconnected. I really can't wait for Fallout 5. That's going to be a day zero once that ever comes into the pipeline, which should be soon, like next 48 months soon.
I don't doubt it. Honestly, I want to say we got, when the Fallout 4 come out, 2016, 2017.
Yeah, it's been a hot minute.
I wonder if they're, what kind of progress they have on it, because we didn't get 2015. Yeah, something like that. I remember watching like theory videos and stuff.
And Fallout 3 was 2008. So yeah, we're at that 7-year mark. I'm telling you, it's around the corner. Within the next 48 months, we should be getting something. If they keep up with that.
Right. I just wonder how much they're putting into it, because I think even like Elder Scrolls 6 was the last official Bethesda announcement. And that was just like a, hey, we're working on it kind of thing.
That's true. With Microsoft pulling the reins now, that might slow things down. It's a good point.
Yeah, and Fallout 4 was really, really good. They built upon a lot that Fallout 3 did. Seeing as how Fallout 3 was the first 3D Fallout game. Overall, it was a good time. I really enjoyed where I went with it. I do vaguely remember saying that you accidentally chose the wrong ending.
Yeah. I was playing it like any gamer would, where you just try to complete as many side quests before beating the main line, the main story. I just didn't realize that certain side quests locked you in with the final faction. Like, I wasn't aware that this is the final quest for this faction. I thought that it was still side questy stuff. And I did one, it locked me in, and I had to finish the game with that faction, which wasn't terrible, but it just wasn't the faction that I was already, that I already chose through that playthrough. But I ended up, you know.
What was the one that you wanted originally?
The Brotherhood.
Yeah, that was fun.
I got stuck with, who was it? I think it was the Railroad.
The Railroad isn't terrible. I think they were like, did they want to take care of the ghouls or did they want to like eliminate them?
They wanted not even ghouls. They wanted to protect the synths. They wanted to like...
That's what it was. Yeah.
They wanted to bring them and make them citizens of the world and stuff. And I was like, nah, yes, screw that. I'm with the Brotherhood. Blow everyone up.
Bro, crying. I think that's the only way to get like the highest title with them. What do they call you? A paladin or something?
Yeah. I did it my second playthrough. I only focused on Brotherhood and I...
I'm not doing any side quests. Fuck all
y'all. Y'all not catching me with this bullshit again. And I beat it. And it was, and I, the entire time I'm getting to the ending, I'm like, this is what it should have been like the first time. I was so angry that, but I did get to experience it. It was phenomenal. And when you focus on Brotherhood, it's so cool that you get to go up through the ranks, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It was, and it's just a nice touch that every time you went back to the blimp, they would just acknowledge you by the new rank. Just little things like that just make the game just more immersive. And Fallout just did a fantastic job. So yeah, Fallout 5, I am hoping we hear something soon. These Game Awards, you never know when they're going to throw any teaser nugget at us. But it's, yeah, we're approaching the time frame for them to start holding up that that hype train.
Indeed. So I really do hope they keep the same practice they did with Fallout 4. We did not get anything for Fallout 4. Like when we got the announcement, it was like less than a year later that the game came out. And I think that's the best thing. That like Red Dead did the same thing. I think Red Dead did it in even a shorter time frame. I think they did it in like 2 or 3 months. Like they announced the game. Everyone was completely shocked. They really kept it under wraps. And 2 months later, we had Red Dead 2. That's the kind of hype that I need. I never want to go through the Cyberpunk hype train ever again in my life.
And I think you brought it up, but there's a nugget online saying that Fallout 5 isn't going to happen until Elder Scrolls 6 happened. So first, that needs to happen. So that needs to happen immediately.
But that was like just, I'm sure they just started like developing on it because they were working on Starfield. They were working on something else. I forgot what it was. But, you know, we also have the acquisition, the Bethesda Microsoft acquisition there. So we'll see what they do with that. I hope for good things, but you just never know.
Yeah, you just never know. Not everyone could be Larian Studios.
That's basically the hype guys right now. The last thing that I have is going to be for my Meta users, the Meta Quest 2, 3, and Pro. For anyone who uses those, there is a native Steam Link support on its way for you guys.
Oh, native. Yeah, I was going to say there is already support, but no, there's a lot of hoops you have to go through to get that to work. So that's awesome.
Yeah, I want to say, actually, no, I think when I wrote it down, it was coming, but no, it looks like it's officially out. So yeah, you can probably, what is that? I think I saw the Meta Quest 2 for like 300 now. And then the 3 is about 500.
Whoa, that's a big jump. I would need to look at the 3, see what it even brings to the table for it to
be. Anthony loves it.
The 3?
Yeah.
Whoop, time to buy it.
that's all you needed?
Only seal of approval I need.
Yeah, he said he loves it. But yeah, that was the last thing that I had here.
Sweet. I have nothing else to offer today, so I'll go ahead and sign us out. So thanks everyone for hanging out with us yet another episode. If you want to show support, go ahead and give us a like on whatever it is you're listening on. You can always share this podcast with anyone you think would enjoy this podcast. You can also reach out to us on Twitter at @twoguysonelevel. Let us know what you thought of this episode, any previous episodes, and what you would like for us to discuss in any future episodes. Again, thanks so much for hanging out with us, and we will catch you all next time. Until then.